It's time for the Artist Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I am an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie. And I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and oils sometimes.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot. Tide illustrative hand in watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. Well, hello. This is Clyde J. Kale. And you are listening to another episode of the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 147 for May the 16th, 2022. And I'm here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Constance.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Diane. Hello, y'all.
Welcome to the podcast. And for our listeners, if you go to talkartpodcast.com, we have a couple information videos there. We got two videos. And the theme for this week's show is weird or strange tools, art tools that we use in our art practice that we use to create art. And a couple of the videos mention some strange things. And then we'll also share of what we consider maybe to the average person, non-artist, some of our tools that we use that may be considered strange. And we'll start with Diane. What do you think about that video with those tiny heads?
That was kind of creepy, I thought. They would be better if they were larger, but they look like they're only maybe 2 inches or so high and maybe an inch around. They were kind of creepy, but they would probably come in handy as far as seeing structure. You know, it's like kind of like doing drawings from the marble statues or whatever. They had the plaster casts that they used to have. So it would help, with the three-dimensionality of your drawings or paintings. But they were kind of creepy. They were little. This little box.
I have to go and watch that video. These about the size of a walnut, or maybe a little bit.
Yeah, they weren't very big.
Little heads and with different facial expressions and.
Yeah, when I was in college, we had to do I had a portraiture class, and we had to do that kind of thing. We were taking a normal face, and we had to figure out how. The muscles in your face would make your face change to different emotions. So they gave us emotions to draw, and we had to figure out how to change the face to accommodate that. It's kind of the same idea where they had all the different versions of the one face. But
so Constance, what did you think about the creepy little heads?
I thought they were kind of cool. I mean, if you wanted to learn or do portrait work, you could hold it, you know, by the side and make it just show in different angles, like, and then light it. She was lighting it. She can light it up to have like a, you know, when you put a flashlight on your chin and it goes upwards, it makes you look like a Halloween person. But the lighting can really set the mood for something also, and the expressions especially. But I thought they're kind of, like Diane said, I think they could have been a little bit bigger. They might have been easier to hang on to while you're working with them.
When I was watching the video, I was thinking about, you know, Constance. And I said, yeah, Constance, I like these things because she kind of likes weird things.
I do.
They're creepy. Yeah.
Yeah, they were a little creepy.
Oh, especially she opened the case up and there's like all these little heads.
Little heads sitting there.
Little head faces just staring at you. Like very macabre.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminded me of years ago when I worked in retail and I worked in the store and stocking, and we had these stuffed animals come in, and they were selling these animals like bears and dogs and cats and lions, whatever, but they had these great big eyes, these really, really big eyes. And it would freak you out. 'Cause every time you open the box up, they're all faced up looking at you, you know, like I didn't
want us out of here. Yay. The box is open.
That box. I told one of my coworkers, I said, look at this. He's, oh man, that's creepy. I said, yeah. they're all
just lined up, you know,
inside the box. They usually have three or four of them in a box. They're, you know, they got their heads all tilted up looking at you. Yeah. That's funny. Those little heads, you know, little heads. And I don't know if I would have those. It kind of might give me nightmares. You wake up coming after me. What'd you think about Mikey? Mikey from Jerry Garr Random. He's hilarious.
He's hilarious.
He is funny. I think I've seen that one before, unless it's a newer one, but they all go through the store and pick out stuff that they don't know what it is and bring it back to him. And he
they does have some strange things.
Like
the watercolor impasto. Like, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, everything against watercolor.
Yeah. It's kind of to me, the strangest one was the eraser in a sock, eraser pieces, because it, when he used it, it crumbled, you know, it, and really, you don't like crumbling.
You know, I have one of those, and I always used it to clean off like mat board, like when you're matting something.
Oh,
if you
okay.
have like got a fingerprint or something, you know, light, like on a smudge on it or something,
mm-hmm.
you can use that to clean it off. That's the only thing I've ever used it for, is that kind of stuff. I've never used it in my drawing or anything.
Huh. It seems like it's too vague unless you've got a gigantic drawing and you want to get rid of a big swath of something. But the kneaded eraser, that's my favorite eraser for.
Oh, I use them all the drawing. Time. I have a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, I've got them placed all around where.
Yeah. Now, I have a couple of those and I use kneaded.
I love kneaded erasers.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting back into pencil drawing and sketching. Oh, yeah.
I like to hold it in my hand. When you get it nice and warm, it's very easy to manipulate, you know, and mm-hmm. you can roll it up and make a little point with it to erase. And
yeah.
It's just really easy.
They're really useful.
It's amazing technology because it just picks that graphite right up, you know.
Yeah, it does. And it doesn't leave the crumbs so that you don't accidentally swipe across mm-hmm. your work and make a mess, you know, because the ones that make crumbs, you know, there's that tendency to want to get the crumbs off the paper, but you don't really want to touch the paper because then your oils in your fingers.
That's why you have
going to get in the paper.
Yeah, I've got here. Since I've been pencil drawing, I've using this wider brush, and this is my brush for dusting off the crumbs from the erasers, you know, and if I get extra, you know, graphite or, you know, whatever, it does a really good job and doesn't streak right across the drawing, you know, across the paper.
Yeah.
And I picked that up from that virtual instructor, you know, site that I've been.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He talked about that, you know, he has, you know, you use a brush, you know, and, or a paper towel, you know, the lightly, dust, kind of like dust your drawing, But at the same time, you don't want to use the traditional eraser that much because it will, if you use it too much, it will weaken the teeth of the paper, the fibers of the paper. So, but the kneaded eraser is it's perfect. It picks up those marks. So I don't know why they call that a weird tool. Well, maybe to the outside.
Well, I think that one of the people that works there didn't know what it was. So that's what they brought it in.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's weird too, the way it works, because it doesn't fall apart. It kind of swallows the whatever it's picking up inside of it, and you can keep reusing it forever. I mean,
yeah,
I probably have
it gets
that
too
are,
hard to use.
I probably have some that are like 30 or 40 years old. I've used it over and over and over.
For our listeners, what we're talking about when we say kneaded eraser, if you've ever seen Silly Putty, very much like Silly Putty. Exactly. It has the same consistency. And in fact, it might even be, I've never tried Silly Putty to see if that would work, but the actual kneaded eraser, it's usually gray, and it gets very, very gray when you use it a lot, because it's got all that charcoal and graphite, in it. But that's the best way, to describe it. Was there anything else that thought was kind of unique in that video?
That three-dimensional palette was weird.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. There's no place to mix paint on it, hardly.
Yeah, it was good for holding the paint, I guess. But like he said, there was only two or three spots where you could mix paint. So it wasn't very useful as far as that part of it.
And they were really tiny,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know about
that
either.
That was really strange. And I can't imagine trying to store it because it's bulky.
Yeah.
How about Diane? You got any?
I don't know that I have any weird things, but I've had a few things. I've used Q-tips sometimes to paint. I use old cards, you get an old credit card or something. You get those ones in the mail a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've used those to make lines or marks with them. You can scrape with them. I've used them for a lot of different things. Cut designs in the edges to make them weird patterns.
Sponges, you can use those too.
Yeah.
That's a smart idea, because I've sometimes, a year ago or several months ago, I was working on a painting that had sailboats, and I was having a hard time making the.
Yeah, they're good for making lines. You can run them in your paint and then run it on the painting.
I don't know why I didn't. You say that earlier.
One time I went out painting and I forgot my brushes. So I had cut off shorts on so I could pull the threads off the bottom of my shorts. And I got a couple branches. I had my pocket knife with me. So I cut some short branches, and I cut some of my hair off and wrapped my hair on the end of the under the stick, and I used that. That's about the weirdest thing I've ever done as far as artwork, I guess.
Desperate person. That's a desperate artist. Yeah.
When you go out and you're hiked out somewhere and then you don't have any brushes, you're I'm not going to hike all the way back.
You got to get creative.
Yeah.
So. Constance, what about you? You got any unique tools you want to share with us? Or?
Well, when I make jewelry, there's this one tool that I bought because I saw it advertised in an infomercial. And what it does is, usually when you're doing wire wrapping, you have to hang on the one end and wrap with the other end. And so this tool is like a big pincher that has two little rubber things on it on each side. And it's flat in the middle. So what it does is you can pinch the main wires and hold it with that instead of just the wire. You have more control.
Oh.
So those are pretty cool. And it's like a clamp, because you can open it up to put the wire in it. And then, you can release it. But this one's pretty stiff, but see.
Yeah.
And
a good way to describe it. Yeah. Yeah, you described it really well. That's exactly what it is. It's like a clamp, like a pincher.
Yeah. And then
it has like a lock on it. Yeah. It has like a lock on the whole.
Yeah, it's a little lever that locks down on the wire, and you can hang on to it with that. It's a little bit easier than just doing it by hand, you know. So, and then I have a dome thing.
If I saw that, I wouldn't know what it was. That would be.
I know. It was like a off the wall thing to have. And then I bought this from a native stamp making community when I was doing stamping. And what it's a dome on top of a, I guess they used a big screw. They welded it on and then they smoothed it out in a dome shape so that you can dome or curve your sheet metal to be, you know, like in a bracelet, if you want it to be curved, have a shape, you know, like a curved shape in the bracelet instead of just being flat.
Yeah, you can make
it. You can hammer, put it on here and just kind of hammer it with a rawhide mallet and it'll make it form out.
Cool.
Concave, like.
Yeah.
Or convexed.
Yeah.
So,
it is really.
That's a pretty cool tool.
All right, now it's my turn. Okay. I have, and I finally figured out how to use it. The first time I became aware of this, it's called a proportional divider. It's about 12 inches long. You can buy them in different sizes and made out of different materials. Mine's out of plastic. That's the most economical, the plastic ones. And it has sharp points, two sharp points on each end. Kind of looks like, you remember in school, when they have those, a compass, you know, usually had a pencil and a point, and, you know, and well, that's like a divider thing. Well, that's what this looks like, but except for you got two sharp points, you know, on either side. It was, I saw it on a Stefan Bauman video and he talked about it. It's a, it's very old. It was invented by Leonardo da Vinci because there's drawings of the exact image. So they think he was the one that invented it because it was a lot of artists used it in the early, you know, during the Renaissance period. But what it helps you do is you adjust this little lever to open the divider up at a small end. And on the other end is a larger end, and you take the small end, and if you can use it in plain air, or you can actually use it with you know, photographs. It works best with working with photographs, but with the plain air, you have to have a real steady hand, steady arm, and you have to hold it up and make sure you hold it in the same spot to measure whatever you're looking at. Okay, with the small end. And then you take and you can transfer replicate with a large end onto your canvas. So it allows you to take something small and make it big on the canvas or drawing paper with the right proportion. That's why it's called a proportional divider. And it works really well with photographs. I found it, even photographs on a computer screen. I have a photograph on a computer screen and I just have to take smaller, you know, and you take several points, several measurements, and you just basically make dots on your paper. And then when you got it enough together of where you're able to pretty much connect the dots and replicate the image that you're looking at, but it will be in the right proportion. And that's to the average person, they would see that and they're like, what the heck is that? I mean, to prove to you how, my smart ass attitude is inherited by my daughters. My oldest daughter, the first time when she saw it, she said, "So what's that? To poke yourself in the eye when you're drawing so good?" And if you were here, I'd poke you in the eye with it. Yeah.
That's funny.
Had to explain to her, you know, what it was all about. You know? so it, to the average person, they wouldn't have a clue as to, you know, what it was for. And I guess architects use them quite a bit. They use a smaller version, you know, when they're doing their architectural drawings. It helps them get their their proportions, right, whatever. But that's my weird tool that I can,
Well, I guess you could use it the way you described to make your drawing bigger than the actual thing you're looking at. But if you use it the other way around, you could actually make it a bigger thing smaller.
Yeah.
In a drawing.
That too.
You can use it both ways.
Yeah, you can go both ways. It depends on how how you adjust it. It's very flexible, and some of them, the more sophisticated ones, I guess the ones that architects use, I've seen them online. They have numbers, measurements, measured by inches and centimeters. This one doesn't have all that. It just has a little hose in it to move the connector around to make the, when I open it up,
the center, where the center is.
Yeah. To make the one end smaller. So the other end would be wider. Like, this works really, really well. Like, it's like whenever I want to, I've got it like it pretty much in the center, a generic position. But like, if I was working on a small photograph on a computer screen, I would move this little hole, the connector, all the way up to the end so that I could get the large end would be wider, you see, when I open it up, which would work out perfect for, on the canvas. So if I'm working on a photograph that's a postage stamp size or bigger, I could expand that where, and you do quite a bit of eyeballing too. I mean, you eyeball it, but it helps you to get a more accurate proportion than just straight, your hand and eye coordination. And I don't use it as much as I used to, because the thing about it is, when you start using it quite a bit, you automatically, it's like you train your brain. It's like, it's a good trainer. You automatically do that with your eye and your hands. And I don't have to use it that much to get that accuracy. So, it's a useful tool, and I bought the cheap plastic one. I think I paid like $10 for that, whatever. So it's not, not real expensive. They've got the, you can buy the metal one, titanium metal, and all the, they try to sell, for, and in fact, Stefan Bauman, in his video, the one he shows, I think he said it's like a $200 one, which is made out of a metal, and somebody got them as a gift, So it's, if you want to impress your artist friends, buy them one of those real fancy metal ones, and then ask them to show you how to use it. They won't know what it is. What the heck is this thing? Okay, I think that's about it. We're going to wrap up this episode of the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 147 for May the 16th, 2022. My name is Clyde J. Kale. And if you go to www.talkartpodcast.com, talkartpodcast.com, you will find the links to the videos, and especially check out Mikey's video. He's a hoot. He's hilarious.
He is funny.
all the different, strange art materials. And I'm going to say goodbye to Diane and Constance.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Constance. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Diane. Good night, y'all. And thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening, folks. And as always, if you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up. And if you want to come on as a guest, you're invited. You can come on and participate in the podcast, and or you can just be our audience. I will mute you so your sound won't interfere. And we'd love to have you. Artpodcast.com. There is the Zoom information link with the times we meet, and we meet every Monday, and we have a good time. So with that, good night, and we'll see you all next week.
The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale.
participating artists Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson and Clyde J. Kim. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.etsy.com/shop/CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kale at www.cjkaleartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends podcast, please email cjkale@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.